About a week ago before Thanksgiving, one turkey in the farmer's yard turned to another turkey and said, "I don't know about this. I have a bad feeling something's going down. The farmer just unfriended me on Facebook." So much of our life can be spent in seeing our life as a glass half empty rather than half full. We all know people in our lives who tend to spend much of their time focused on the negative, complaining about someone or something, a family member, their health, a friend, the church, the state of the world, because there's always lots to pick apart and complain about. Or perhaps we ourselves might have a tendency to focus on all the things that are going wrong instead of what is going right. But when we do that, when we focus on the negative, on what is missing, on what is wrong, our lives are substantially diminished. Today in Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, we catch a glimpse of what a life lived with an attitude of gratitude, a life that dwells on what is good and true, really looks like. According to scholars, Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippi, which he founded on his second missionary journey to the Mediterranean. Philippi was a city in what used to be the former Yugoslavia and is now modern Eastern Macedonia beside Croatia. A beautiful part of the world. My son and his girlfriend just got back in June, and my daughter visited there in the fall. In his letter to the house church in Philippi is full of warmth and gratitude for the church community he founded there. And what is remarkable about this letter of thanksgiving is that most scholars agree that he was in prison in Rome facing his execution when he wrote it, and therefore had a lot to be negative and pessimistic about. But instead, he writes warmly and lovingly to that community of faith. He calls by name Euodia and Syntyche and Clement, and his heart is full of gratitude for a financial gift this community of faith has sent him, because it's just arrived through his friend Epaphroditus. Paul's heart is warm and filled with thanksgiving that the house church in Philippi has remembered him and sent a generous gift to him, reminding him of their gratitude for his ministry among them. He is so thankful that they have remembered him. And so he sits down to write a letter of gratitude to the people of Philippi to express his appreciation. And even more than that, he encourages them in their ministry together, reminding them not to focus on all the little conflicts that are going on in the church, but to help two of the women leaders in their congregation by the names of Euodia and Syntyche, and to focus on all the good that everyone is accomplishing in their little community of faith. He reminds them to be grateful for all they have accomplished together and to dwell on the positive and not the negative. He reminds them, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. He says, don't worry about anything. Turn all your concerns over to God. And he reminds them, when you dwell on what is good, You will experience the peace of God that is so profound. It surpasses all understanding. It's incredible that you should even have this peace when all around you might be conflict and chaos. Have you ever felt that? Has your heart ever been so full of gratitude that your heart was bursting with joy and your whole being was filled with an inexplicable peace when you shouldn't even have been feeling peace at all? Sometimes I think, as a community of faith at Knox, like all communities of faith, we sometimes get a little out of sorts with ourselves. And sometimes we might end up focusing too much on what is wrong or what is missing or what we're not doing, that we forget to celebrate all the wonderful things, all the wonderful people, all the wonderful ministries that are happening every day because of this gathering. Children in Parksville who are grieving because of their family situation find support and community through the Rainbow's grief program from ages 5 to adult. People who are in crisis experience compassion and healing through the healing and pastoral care ministry. People who are facing surgery or going through a crisis feel strengthened and befriended through the prayers of our prayer chain and visits from people in the church. People who are searching for something more come through these doors and feel inspired through the music and the story, the sacred story of the gospel, of the scriptures, of Jesus' story, and our own stories. Those who are longing for meaningful conversation come to courses here, like we did last week on science and spirituality, and we come to grow and learn. Friendships are found in this place, and those who are despairing begin to live in hope when they are reminded and feel and experience that the God of love and peace is near. You and I know that our world right now is in chaos. We have many things to be concerned about. Climate change causing devastation in Indonesia and Ottawa and Japan, around the world. Terrible military conflicts going on throughout many countries. People being voted in power that have no compassion or seem to have no compassion or concern for the little ones, for the vulnerable. Our own griefs and heartbreaks, our health concerns. There is much to be concerned and become negative about. But Paul reminds the people in Philippi and reminds us also today to learn to focus and dwell on all the many things that are good and praiseworthy. All the amazing moments when we feel God close. All the amazing good people we have met in our lives, those who have crossed over and still watch over us, and those who are right here loving us. And when we dwell on all the good things, Paul says, we will experience the fullness of joy and be enveloped in a surprising sense of peace. Last year, Knox decided that one of our core values as a congregation would be to aspire to uphold the value of joy. Now, some would argue that joy is an outcome, not a value. But in Paul's letter, he reminds us several times to rejoice, to uphold the value of joy. Maybe when we're not even feeling it. Particularly when life is not easy. He invites us into a state of joy because joy is not an outcome. It is an inside job. a value to be upheld, especially in times of uncertainty and sorrow. And in fact, it has been scientifically proven that it is our facial muscles which actually signal to the brain what emotion we are feeling. So if we deliberately put a smile on our face, using all of our muscles, even if we're feeling kind of fake about it, according to science, we will actually begin to feel better. Endorphins will be released and will alter our mood, and we can enter into a state of joy. Yesterday, a few of us from Knox gathered with Glenn Pearden and his family and closest friends in the garden of Otter Carroll to share memories of Isabel Pearden, who died this summer after a very long illness that confined her to a wheelchair where she even slept at night sitting up in the last few years. But in the midst of the tears shed, there's no talk of her struggles, only the joy and laughter and gratitude that came alive through the sharing of stories about the life of a wonderful wife and mother and daughter and sister and friend. It was a gathering to dwell on all that was true, all that was honorable, all that was commendable, all that was good. Paul reminds us that even in the midst of our own private prison cells, there is much joy and gratitude to be discovered. Paul tells us that he has discovered the secret to life: content in all manner of things. For as he said, he has known what it is to have plenty and to have what is little. He has known what it is to be fed and what it is to be hungry. And he learned to be content with all of it. That the secret of life is to know that we can do all things because God is near and strengthening us. This painting that is in front of the communion table, it's a painting that hangs in the home of Carol Sept, who is part of our Bible study group. Last Wednesday, when we gathered to explore this letter of Paul's, she shared the story of this painting, painted from a photo a friend took when she was in Croatia shortly after the most recent War of Independence in the early 90s, between 91 and 95. This Croatian woman, whose home she was in, shared with her how she had lost everything she loved in the war: her husband, her sons, her children, most of her things destroyed from the fighting. And yet here she was in the humble home she had rebuilt with a stranger. And this woman was so full of gratitude for her life, so filled with joy and a generous spirit, that all she wanted to do with this stranger was share only food she had in her house at the time, a jug of wine. And so she poured her this cup of wine with an overflowing attitude of gratitude, and it filled the visitor's heart. When Carol heard the story of the woman who had taken the photo and then painted it, she bought this print of the woman from Croatia, not unlike the people of ancient Philippi, to remind herself to live a life with an attitude of gratitude, for God is always near. And so on this Thanksgiving Sunday, when all of the world gathers to share in the sacred simple meal of bread and wine, as a reminder of Christ's great love poured out, as a reminder that God is as close to us as our next breath, may we remember Paul's letter of thanksgiving to the Church of Philippi, accept his invitation to enter into an attitude of gratitude, that our hearts might be filled with joy, like a cup that runneth over. Be so.